Father, we don't have the ability to completely and truly describe how awesome you are. There really is no God like you, Father. You are holy, you're all powerful, Lord God. You are sovereign. You're a God of love, but you are holy. You are pure. You are righteous, Lord God. You are to be honored, Lord God, and revered. And indeed, the fear of you is the beginning of wisdom, Lord God. Amen. Folks, we as people, there's so many things that we need to do to help us focus on God, to separate ourselves, so to speak, from the things that surround us and the things that are vying for our attention and demanding our attention, in fact stealing our attention and are distracting us from truly connecting with God in the deepest possible way. In these moments before we pray, while we were worshiping, these thoughts were going through my mind. You know, we, and I say this in the humblest way that I can, you know, we have the audacity to speak about a sermon series called The World Needs a Father, but we need the Father. We need you, God, here and now. Lord, we don't need a sermon, Father. We don't need anything but you. And so, church, before we even start looking at God's word this morning, would you take a moment right there where you are? Do your best to please forget about everybody around you, first of all. But most of all, forget about yourself. Forget about your inadequacies. Forget about trying to be good enough. Because the truth is, we are not good enough. That's why Jesus died. The truth is, no matter who we have ministering in song up here on the stage, none of our worship is truly good enough for who God is. We do the best we can with what we've got, and by His grace, because of His words spoken over our lives, we are good enough. Because of Jesus, we are accepted in the Beloved. So in a moment or two, where you are there, please, would you worship God? Would you, whatever expectation you have this morning, would you let the Holy Spirit speak to you right there where you are and say, God, all I want this morning is you. I'm not here to hear Mozzie. I'm not here to perform a duty. I'm here for you, God. God. God pitches up in the most unlikely places and in the most unlikely people when there's a heart that is desperately seeking Him. So just take a moment, church, right there where you are. And whatever you expected to experience and feel and be exposed to this morning, would you just set that aside and focus everything that you have on God. God Almighty. Jesus Christ, and you, Holy Spirit. Father, we need you this morning, Lord. We need your truth. We need your help. We need your life. We need your power. We need to be set free. We need to be made whole again. We need peace. We need courage. We need wisdom. We need everything that you have and all that you are. That's all we need, Lord. That's all we need. It has been said we will not know that Jesus is all we need until Jesus is all we've got. So in these moments, Lord God, strip us bare of anything in our flesh, in our bodies that's distracting us, any in our minds that's troubling us, Lord God, and anything in the spiritual realm of the enemy that we want to stop you working in our hearts this morning. And have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us, Lord. Father, everything about you is so pure and so holy, Lord God. No human being deserves to have you living inside of them, and yet you come and live inside of us, Lord. And Holy Spirit, as you speak to us this morning, Lord God, may we be those who are desperately hungry and desperately thirsty for you, Lord. May we not take anything that you would want to say to us this morning for granted, Lord. And Lord, when we go, may there be no crumbs left on the floor. May there be no leftovers, nothing left of on the table that you've prepared for us in the presence of our enemy, Lord God, because we want to consume everything that you have for us this morning, Lord. We bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name. It's my honor and my privilege again this morning to share the Word of God with you. I trust that if you, in faith, believing that God is going to speak to you this morning, He indeed will. We're busy with our sermon series, The World Needs a Father. To recap, last week we started looking at the four primary roles that a father has in establishing authority, conferring identity, providing security, and affirming potential. We looked at why it's important for the authority of God to be established in our homes, and why that there must be authority, but why it's important that it is God's authority that is established. This morning we're going to look at the responsibility that a father has in conferring identity. And each point we go through this morning, we're going to see how it's important for fathers to do that, but also that God does that for us. So if you want to follow on the screen, or on your Bibles, your tablets, notes, whatever you're using to read the Word of God this morning, I encourage you to do so. It's one of the ways that helps us memorize the Scripture when we hear it, when we see it, when we repeat it to ourselves. What's exciting about these four responsibilities or primary roles of a father, it's not some philosophical understanding that we have. It's not some psychological approach that we have. We see God does exactly this to Jesus. There's two places in Scripture where we see God does this to Jesus. God confers identity, He establishes authority, He provides security, and He affirms potential. He does it over Jesus, and God does it over us all the time. All right, I'd like us to start off this morning, Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, and Matthew 17 and verse 5. Matthew 3 and verse 17, and then Matthew 17 and verse 5. Here we see the biblical evidence where God fulfills these four primary roles over Jesus' life. And He does it over our lives. And I trust that He's going to do it over your life again this morning in these moments. Because I know every single one of us need this. Matthew 3 verse 17, and says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. And the next verse, Matthew 17 and verse 5, but even as He spoke, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, this is my dearly loved Son, who brings me great joy. Listen to Him. Father, that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to listen to You. Holy Spirit, speak the truth into our hearts that will liberate us, that will change us, that will forever set us free. In Jesus' name, God establishes authority by saying of Jesus, hear him. The backdrop for that passage in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is on what's called the Mount of Transfiguration. Up there on the Mount of Transfiguration, he meets Moses and he meets Elijah. And we know Elijah hasn't died yet because Elijah was raptured. There's five raptures that takes place in the scripture. One of them is Elijah. We also see Moses. Pastor Moses had died at that stage, but we don't know where he was buried because God buried him. And Jesus meets them on the Mount of Transfiguration. It's significant that those two characters are there with Jesus because Moses is known as the great lawgiver. God's law was given to Moses. So Moses represents the law. It's significant that the prophet Elijah was there because Elijah was recognized as one of the mightiest prophets. And Elijah represents all of the prophets. So we see the law and the prophets. And when they ask Jesus about what's the greatest command in the Bible, Jesus speaks about this. It's known as the royal law, the greatest commandment. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And it says, all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in these. In other words, God is saying, everything that I've said to mankind is contained in these things. And in the middle is Jesus. And God is saying, you've got the law, you've got the prophets, but here's my son, hear him. Hear him. And he says, this is my son. God confers the identity of who this Jesus is. I don't know why, but at the stage of studying that I am at in my life, I'm looking at a lot of debates. And it's challenging everything that I've come to know and believe about Christianity. I'm studying the authenticity of all historical spiritual writings, and it's good to do that. Because we must be at a point in our lives, church, where we must be able to tell people what you believe, but also, more importantly, why you believe it. I want to ask you this question. This morning, if you were raised from the beginning in a Christian household, or maybe you only went to church three times for hatch, match, and dispatch. Christenings, weddings, and funerals. I don't know. But for somehow, all you've been exposed to in terms of spirituality is Jesus. Then you compare it to somebody who grows up in a household where they taught all you're exposed, you don't know about Jesus, you know about Allah. Allah. And God is angry with everybody. You're all automatically going to go to hell. And the only way you can live is by doing all these things and engaging in jihad, which is holy war. Imagine if that's all you've been exposed to. Then that's all you know. So this morning, what do you believe and why do you believe in it? What makes the authenticity of Jesus real? I can tell you now, there are studies and there are debaters and there are evidences to take apart every single holy scripture that man has at their disposal, including the Bible. Listen to this. We know that the Bible is the infallible, indelible, inspired word of God. That means it's faultless, inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it cannot be erased. We know that. But you know, there are even faults in the Bible, inconsistencies which no theologian can explain. Church, I want to say this to you this morning. Christianity is not legitimate because the Bible is perfect. Did you get that? Christianity is not legitimate because the Bible is perfect. Christianity is legitimate because Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. That gives Christianity its legitimacy. That's why God has to say of Jesus, this is my son. Never before, once everything has been said and done, the fat lady and all of her sisters have all sang. This is what the world is faced with. You're either going to have a system of faith where you have to do everything you can to be good enough to live forever, or believe a God who's done everything for you so that you can live forever. You choose. Then let's look at our leaders of who we believe in. Look at the track record, the life and the history of people, of gods or deities that are followed by other people. And then look at the track record and history of God. Most other deities will punish and destroy forever and give no mercy and no hope to those who are wicked and unrighteous. Most deities. Our God is the one who loves the unrighteous, who gives grace to the wicked, who gives grace to the unholy. Our God is the one who takes no delight in the death of the wicked. That's why it was important for God to say, "This is my beloved Son. He's my Son. He's from me. Hear him." God establishes the authority of his Son. He's my Son. Hear him. So last week we looked at God establishing authority. This week it's conferring identity. That's who Jesus is. He confers the identity of Jesus by saying, "He's my Son." This morning, God wants to say to you, my brother, my sister, you are mine. You're mine. Here's this example. A glove. I learned this illustration is too good not to be repeated. So a glove is made and shaped specifically for a human hand. If you take that glove and you put it on your hand, it serves a purpose. Whether it's a rubber glove that you put on to wash the dishes, to keep your pedicure. Whether it's a boxing glove because you need to teach your husband a lesson. Whether it's a motorcycle glove to protect your hand, whatever. Once your hand is in that glove has a purpose. Because the thing for which it was designed is inside it. Enter you. You are shaped, you are created and designed with a specific purpose. For God to dwell inside you. Without God inside you, what is the purpose of you? God wants to confer your identity this morning. When you've gotten into an argument with somebody, how many of you have been in the receiving end where they say, "Who the hell do you think you are?" Well, I'm going to ask you this morning, who are you? Who are you? Without your qualification, without your reputation, without your circle of friends, without your possessions, who are you? I want to tell you this morning, if you've been listening to Alive the Devil, that what you're going to do and everything you do is not good enough, there are times when, guess what? He's right. We're not good enough. That's why Jesus had to come. But if he continuously lies to you and tells you, "You're not good enough because of this, you're not good enough for that, you can't do this, you can't do that," I want to tell you that God wants to say to you this morning, you are created in his image. You're created for his purpose. Your identity is a glove that needs to have a hand in. You are an individual. You know, they've worked out that if they look at the intrinsic value of a human body, the elements from the periodic, we're worth like a few rands of carbon and a couple of other elements. I don't know what they are. Maar ons is nie veel werd nie. We're not really worth much in monetary terms. But to God, he would rather die than live without you. That's who you are. All that you are this morning sitting here is somebody in whom God wants to live. And he's created you to be lived in. Then your purpose comes to fruition and becomes real in your life like nothing ever before. Then God provides security. God wants to give you security. God provides security by saying, "He's my dearly loved. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." James, my dearly loved Son. God gives Jesus security. God spoke this over Jesus before Jesus had even started his public ministry. Think about that. Most of us, the worth that we see in people and have in people is because of the value that they bring to our lives. Let's be real with each other. You think, no, Mozzie, not me. Just be honest with yourself. Look at yourself for a few nanoseconds, please. Most of us, the worth that we see in other people, it's because of what they bring into our lives. For example, why do you like somebody in the first place? Well, maybe it's because they look good. Guess what? It is pleasing to your eyes. So because it does something that's pleasing to you, you like that person. Can you see now why most of us see worth in each other because of what that person brings to you? Can you see how selfish we are?
Yes.
Think about that. Why am I getting these blank stares this morning? Can you see how desperately in need of Jesus we are? Most of us place value on somebody else because of what they bring, not God. Before he even started his public ministry, God said of Jesus, my dearly loved son. Jesus hadn't even started fulfilling his 12 hours of purpose when God said, my dearly loved son. Church, hear this morning the Spirit of God saying to you, you are loved. You're loved. You're loved. You know, multitudes are going to end up in hell one day. Prayerfully and hopefully nobody here this morning. But even when those individuals are in hell, God will have said, you are loved. Folks, think about that. You are loved. While Stephen the martyr was being stoned, as his spirit was leaving his body, he saw the heavens opened up and he saw God, saw the majesty of God. And he said, don't hold this against them because they don't know what they're doing. Jesus on the cross too. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they're doing. Not like, yes, get these little so-and-sos. Get them for me, God. No. You are loved. So God provides security for us by saying this morning, you're loved. You're loved. That's all the security that we need. You're loved. So he establishes authority, confers identity, provides security, and then affirms potential. Affirms potential. God affirms potential by saying, he brings me great joy. God is speaking about something that's already taking place before Jesus even started his ministry. God makes a statement before Jesus even started his ministry. He brings me great joy. And the gist of it and the truth of it is, we all have a primary identity. We've covered that this morning already. And the identity is that God has made you to live inside you. That's why he's made you. He's made you to live inside you. He's made you for you to be a carrier of his anointing. He's made you be a specific place at a specific time to the way in which he's shown you love. You show that love to people who have not experienced his love. That's why he's made you. Have you wondered what we're going to do in heaven? Heaven and earth is going to be here on this earth. It's going to be made new. It's going to be here. The actual bride, we are like the bride of Christ. We're not the bride of Christ. The bride of Christ is the new Jerusalem going to come down to earth. You see that in the book of Revelations. We've covered that last year extensively. But you wondered, we're going to rule and reign. What are we going to reign over? Who are we going to rule over? Have you wondered? Do you think we're going to sit on clouds playing harps? We're going to rule, and what are we going to rule and reign over? So God is an eternal creator. You think God is going to stop creating? What is it that we're going to rule and reign over? There's going to be a time when we're going to rule and reign during the millennium for 1,000 years. Devil's going to be taken out of hell one more time. We're going to look at him and say, phew, Is this the one that has troubled the nations like this? Then he's going to be cast into hell forever and all eternity. But then after the ruling and the reigning, think about that. God affirms potential. God has called us for a specific purpose and a specific time. Folks, there's never been a time in the history of the church that is more crucial than the here and the now for the church of Jesus that is alive here and now. Maybe you're a place in your life where you're not sensing the urgency of the hour. You know, maybe you're in a place in your life where you just you're barely surviving. And by surviving, I mean it feels like the hits just keep on coming. It's one blow in life after the next. You just get some financial thing sorted out, and then there's some health challenge. You just get the health challenge sorted out, and then there's some relationship issue. Then you just get the relationship thing issue, then it's something that you've never faced before. Then you face that, and then it's in. How many of you are experiencing that? Or perhaps you're in a place where it's just so good, it's just like, well, I don't know where you're at. But the hour is so critical for us as the Church of Jesus Christ to be real. To be real. The hour is, folks, we're at a place in our lives where the world must be able to differentiate between the world and the church. It must be able to differentiate between the world and the church. You know, that's where we are at. So God affirms the potential of Jesus by saying, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." God wants to affirm your potential. And your primary identity is He wants you to be somebody in whom He lives. Where do we get our identity from? Let's look at a few scriptures to lay the foundation for that quickly. Genesis 1:27, I'm going to fly through them. They are in the notes on the WhatsApp group if you want the notes, and also it will be discussed top and tailed in the care group meetings during the week. Genesis 1:27, God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. It's not complicated. There are only two genders. There always were, there always will be only two genders. There's no confusion. So God created human beings in His image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them. Galatians 4 and verse 7. Now you're no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you're His child, God has made you His heir. Why no longer a slave? Well, the scripture teaches that the one whom you obey, you're a slave to that one. So let's look at the sinful nature quickly. If you're continuously bowing and submitting to a sinful nature over and over and over, you're a slave to sin. The scripture says you're no longer a slave to sin. What are we then? Slaves to righteousness. When we completely and always want to obey and walk in righteousness, we are slave to righteousness. That's what it says. You were once a slave to sin, you're now a slave to righteousness. Okay. And since you are His child, God has made you His heir. He's made you His heir. Why an heir? An heir is somebody who is included in a will. For somebody to get something that's in a will, the testator has to die. The person who made the will needs to die for you to inherit what's in the will. Guess what? We're an heir to everything that is Jesus's, because Jesus has already died. Amen. Jesus has already died. So what are we are heirs of? Money, money, money. Must be funny. It's a rich man's will. Is that what we're heirs to? Please no. What are we heirs to? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's what we are heirs to. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, long-suffering, and self-control. That's what we heirs to. And folks, I know, God knows, and you should know, that as we get closer and closer to the trumpet call of God, when His church is going to be raptured, Christianity somehow, in my perception, I could be theologically wrong, I'm just telling you what's real to Mozzie, that cross, that daily cross, is getting heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier. Or do you live in some other spiritual paradigm? I don't know about you. Maybe you're rocking it. Maybe you're handling it. But for me, the daily cross is getting heavier and heavier and heavier. That's why the Bible says, you have need of endurance. God knew that in the end times, that daily cross is going to get heavier and heavier. And the thoughts are going to come easier. Just give it up. God understands, you know. Now, I don't have to be that committed. Have you considered this, that somebody, maybe a person that you think is like radical, is perhaps just a little bit more on fire for Jesus than what you are. So therefore, they are radical. You know, I'm not like so radical and extreme in my Christianity, you know. So that's where we are at, our primary identity. God gives us this. We are slaves to righteousness. Ephesians 2 and verse 6, He raised us up from the dead along with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. That's where we are, seated with Jesus. I pray God is encouraging you this morning. You know somebody here on earth that's just groveling, that you just got to grovel, gather together something, and perhaps you're going to say a prayer good enough or desperate enough to get heaven's attention. No. You've already gotten all of heaven's attention. If you're a man, woman, and child who surrendered the lordship of your life, your authority, your say over your life, you being the boss of your life, if you've surrendered that to the lordship of Jesus, the scripture says that you're seated with Christ in heavenly places. So you don't start your day here on earth as a victim of the devil, a victim of the circumstances. Hoe gaan dit met jou? Nee, wat onder die omstandighede is dit maar right, jy weet. Jy hoef jou dag daar te begin onder die omstandighede. You can understand, I'm no longer a slave. I'm created in His image. He's got a plan and purpose for my life. I'm seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Lord, what is on your heart for today? Jesus, you're interceding to God for me on my behalf all the time right now. And I come to you, Lord, these are my challenges, these are my issues. I know you know them, but you want me to express them. I express them to you, Lord God, and come have your way in my heart and in my life. I know it's not going to be easy. I know I'll not always understand it, but I know, Lord God, that I've got you. And because I've got you, and you've got me, there's nothing else that I need. That's who you are this morning. How many of you are feeling better about yourself this morning? And that's God's purpose, to establish your identity, confer your identity, His identity on you. Colossians 2 verse 9 to 10. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God in a human body. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and authority. We'll carry on next week about our secondary identity, but let's just stop there this morning. I don't want to just rush through this because it's been half an hour. But if I can't get it said in half an hour, I'm not going to get it said in 3 hours. So to recap this morning, the four primary roles of a dad is establishing authority, conferring identity, providing security, and affirming potential. We're going to yell this over and over until it goes from here to here. And this morning, God wants to do that to you. We looked last week about His authority, and this morning is conferring His identity. God has conferred His identity upon you. How do you see yourself this morning? How do you see yourself this morning? Perhaps there's something in your mind that's not really the way that Jesus would think. Are you willing to let go of that this morning? Perhaps there's something in the past that somebody has done something to you and it troubles you. Are you willing to let go of that this morning? Perhaps there's an area in your life where you're insecure about something. You feel, I'm just rather going to keep quiet because what can I say after all? Would you let go of that this morning and know that through you, God wants to touch somebody, somewhere, somehow with His love through you. Are you willing to let go of that this morning? And maybe you're at a place in your life where you got some skills. You got some gifts, you got some talents, and if you're honest with yourself, you've gotten on quite well. You've gotten by better than most, but it's been without Jesus. And you just want to give Jesus full reins this morning, completely. Say, Lord, I thank you for where you've brought me so far, and it's been great up to now, but I know there's more, Lord. I know there's more. Perhaps you're at a place in your life where you want more of the things of God. Perhaps, I just want to say this, I just sense God dropped in my spirit. There's somebody here, at least one person, at least one. If not, then I've missed God, and it's possible. You hear people speak about, you know, I just sense the Lord said this to me, and I heard the Lord say that, and you think to yourself, geez, Lord, I never hear you. I don't hear God's voice. I don't know what, if that's you, would you like to start hearing God's voice? God will let you hear His voice if you just learn to listen. If you just learn to listen. So if you're in any one of those categories this morning, I want us to pray with each other and for each other. As we close off, I want to ask the deep end to come up one more time and do, I think it's die tweede liedjie, when next nie seker nie, maar. Anyway, whatever for julle gaan werk, as julle die tweede liedjie vir ons kan doen, asseblief. So, like I say, to recap as we pray this morning, if you're at a place in your life where there's some way that you think that you know is not like Jesus and you want to get rid of it, or there's something from the past that keeps troubling you and you want to get rid of it, somebody's done something wrong and you want to get rid of it, or God's been working in your life but you want more, or last but by no means this, you want to hear God's voice. If you're in any one of those categories this morning, let's just pray for each other. Father, thank you that we can call you Father. Thank you that we can come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. What does it mean when we say in the name of Jesus? Well, it means because Jesus died, because He's paid the price, because He took the blame for my nonsense, because He's gone back to you, Lord, and because He's preparing a place for me. That's what it means when I say in the name of Jesus. And it's in His name that I come to you this morning, God, and I ask, Holy Spirit, you know exactly what I want, you know exactly what I need. I don't have to ask, but you want me to, so that my faith can grow, so that we can talk with each other. So whatever your challenge is this morning, one of those things we prayed on, would you just lift it up to the Lord there, right there where you're seated. Pray to God like you'd speak to your best friend. You don't have to quote chapter and verse. Just be real with God. He knows you anyway. And just submit it to His Lordship this morning. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And Father, this morning we've spoken about conferring identity. You know, Jesus could have got involved with anything that He wanted to when He was here on earth. But He came completely, entirely to do your will. Because He knew without shadow of a doubt, He's God's Son. He knew His purpose. He knew He's loved. And He knew, Lord God, that You wanted the world to hear His message. Lord God, and I pray that over Your people. I pray that over ourselves. I pray that over myself this morning, Lord God, that we would really have a renewed understanding of who we are. That we're the church of Jesus Christ. That every one of us has a role to play somehow, somewhere in seeing Your kingdom come and Your will be done. Every one of us has a role to play. Father, if we do not let the hand come into the glove, so to speak, there's no point. There's no point of a glove unless it's on a hand. And so too, Lord, there's no point for our lives unless you're in control. There's no point for our existence unless you live in us. And our prayer is this morning, Lord God, that hours, days, weeks, and years after this message has ended, that we would know beyond a shadow of a doubt who we are in Christ Jesus. And so to, if we are granted the grace of tomorrow, another day, when we wake up tomorrow morning, Lord, I pray that each one of us would know that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. I pray that each one of us would know and hear you say, "You are my beloved son. You are my beloved daughter. In you I'm well pleased." I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that as we leave this place, Lord, old mindsets are left behind. Lies and deception are left behind. Insecurities are left behind. Fears are left behind. Thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. May Almighty God bless you and keep you. May God make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May God lift up his countenance over you and give you his supernatural peace that surpasses all understanding. We love you dearly. Have a Jesus-filled week. And God willing, we'll see you same time, same place next week. Thank you, Deep End. Let's worship the Lord one more time.